Okay, yesterday we discussed Pesach Sheni. There are a few loose ends relating to Pesach Sheni. Yesterday we discussed the three names for Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, Pesach Katan, and Pesach Zeira. One of the reasons why it's called Pesach Katan, Pischa Zeira. One of the reasons why it's called Pesach Katan is because the halachas of Pesach Sheni are much lighter than the halachas of Pesach Rishon. For example, on Pesach Sheni you're allowed to have in your home chametz. There's no prohibition of having chametz. There, I'll give you some other examples of halachas which are lenient. Hallel. On Pesach Rishon you say Hallel, and when you eat the Karban Pesach, Pesach Sheni you do not say Hallel. Another example is Tumah. The chumras of Pesach Rishon are so great that if the entire Klal Yisrael are in a state of Tumah, it's Dechuya. Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. But Pesach Sheni does not have that same sanctity that we override Tumah for the offering of the Karban. So therefore, that's one of the reasons why it's called Pesach Katan. It's Katan in relation to the stringency, to the halachic stringencies of Pesach Rishon. Now we discussed yesterday that in Shulchan Aruch it's not recorded that we do not recite Tachanun on Pesach Sheni because it's not really a Yom Tov. We discussed different reasons why it's not a Yom Tov. First of all, it's only a Yom Tov for Yechidim. For Yechidim, since when does Klal Yisrael not recite Tachanun because of Yochid? Just because someone is making a bris today in B'nei Brach, does that mean the whole Klal Yisrael doesn't say Tachanun? It's a Yom Tov for a Yochid. Someone's getting married tonight. Doesn't mean that the whole Klal Yisrael is not going to say Tachanun by davening. Likewise, Pesach Sheni is a Yom Tov for Yechidim. There were Yechidim who are Tameim, who can't bring the Karban Pesach. So these Yechidim, they bring the Karban Pesach. So for them, it's a Yom Tov. The whole Klal Yisrael should not say Pesach Sheni. So we gave yesterday one answer. The reason, so we gave yesterday one answer. The one answer is because there's a sheet, there's a Das Yochid in the Yerushalmi that says that in the event that the Beis HaMikdash will be built between the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, even though normally the entire Tzibur does not bring a Pesach Sheni, the exception is where there is no Beis HaMikdash. When Klal Yisrael does not have an opportunity to bring Karban Pesach because there is no Mikdash and it's first built during between Nisan and Iyar, then the entire Klal Yisrael will bring a Pesach Sheni. That qualifies it as a potential Yom Tov. Okay, let's put that aside. That's a Das Yochid. There's just another reason why we have a custom not to say Tachlin because it's a Medrash. Even though you don't bring Raya Halacha from Midrash, the Medrash says that every single one of the Moadim, Hashem wanted to give us a Moed. Every one of the Chodashim is a festival. Nisan is Pesach. This is a Medrash. Iyar, Hashem gave us the festival of Pesach Sheni. Then comes Sivan, is obviously Shavuos, and then comes Tammuz. It was meant to be. There's a family. It was meant to be. Tammuz was supposed to be Rosh Hashanah. Tammuz is Man of Din. Then comes Av. It was supposed to be Yom Kippur. Elul was supposed to be Sukkot, and Tishrei. Tishrei was supposed to be Shmini Atzeres. 50 days was supposed to be 50 day count between Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. Each, this is a Medrash, each one of the Chodoshim, it was meant to be a festival starting with Nisan through Tishrei. Because Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Moadim from the months of Tammuz, Av, and Elul, and they all bunched together in Tishrei. In Tishrei we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. The four holidays that are found in Tishrei were really meant to be spread out over the summer in Tammuz, Av, Elul, and Tishrei. But part of this Medrash very clearly states that we have a holiday every single one of the months, starting with Nisan. And the Medrash explicitly says the holiday of El of Iyar is Pesach Sheni. So based upon this Medrash, exactly. So that's why that's not absolute. Again, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not recorded. Shulchan Aruch does not say that you do not say Tachnun. And those who are diehard observers of the Shulchan Aruch will say Tachnun today on Pesach Sheni. They say Tachnun Pesach. They say Tachnun Pesach. Here, in Yom Gizl Midwood, they say Tachnun. They say Tachnun. Okay, so this that you don't say Tachnun, it's a new thing. But part of it comes, he says, comes from the Medrash. A Yalkut Shmoni in Parshas Pinchas Remes Tov Shin Pei Beis. It's a famous Medrash, and it's based upon that. Okay, just one thing to throw out, I don't have an answer for this. I don't know what the answer to this question is. there's a difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon, the Torah says, is a Pesach Sheni is a festival for Gerim. It does not say the word Ger by Pesach Rishon. By Pesach Sheni, it says Chuka Achas Yihye Lochem Vila Ger. Vilager. Pesach Rishon, it does not say the word Vilager. Nowhere in reference to Pesach Rishon does the word Ger appear. Only time the word Ger appears is in Pesach Sheni. Haloi Dover. Now, I don't have a good answer. The answer, he has a very, very technical answer to the question over here, but it's an interesting concept. Seemingly, it's all built on the idea that Pesach Rishon were all Gerim. Pesach Rishon is the source for Gerus and Klal Yisrael. Dan Pesach, Dan Mila. We learned the whole Klal Yisrael. We became the process of becoming Jewish was through Yitzias Mitzrayim with Matan Torah. And therefore, there is no one specific person. Pesach Sheni, on the other hand, is where Klal Yisrael already has converted. It's just a matter of accommodating the newcomers, and therefore it says the word Ger. Just a short idea to think about. That's a very big question. That's a sugya. I am not prepared. He has a chapter on that. I'm quoting here from Sefer Amnei Shom. Katan, that's a question also relates to a child that becomes bar mitzvah between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So basically, the assumption is that if you were not mechuyev in Pesach Rishon, you're not mechuyev in Pesach Sheni. That's the basic yisod. So a child would not bring a Pesach Sheni, and a ger also would not, because a ger who is not chayev in Pesach Rishon, his first opportunity to bring Karban Pesach will be the following year. A ger?
In other words, if you want, that's the. You know, we don't come. If you weren't on the first day of Pesach, you could be oil regal. You could be oil regal. So if you had a foot infection, you could go. You went to the doctor the first day of Halamoy. Now you would.
You couldn't go.
So it's machlokes. If you weren't.
But there you were technically bar chayuva.
Since you weren't mechuyev on the first day, the rest of the days are just tashlumin.
Okay.
So then you're not chayuva.
There's no tashlumin for Karban Pesach. Only with Pesach Sheni. That's the point.
The whole
sugi
is about that.
Okay, let's go to another idea.
But question: How could Tammuz be sukkos when that would negate the whole concept that we went out for comfort into our booths?
Tammuz.
Did you say even it was medrash, but the intention that Tammuz would be sukkos?
Yes, yes.
That seems to negate the whole concept.
No, not Tammuz. Not Tammuz. It'll be Av. It'll be Av.
Okay, but even so, that's summer.
I hear the question. The Medrash does say that Av was meant to be Av Chodesh. Av was meant to be Sukkos. I don't know the answer. It's very hot. Right. Well, that's going to be the sign for the Umas Olam. It says that when Mashiach will come, the Umas Olam will demand that they also be given the opportunity of giving mitzvah. Hashem will give mitzvah of Sukkah, and it's going to be so hot they're going to kick the Sukkah. So you do see that Sukkah is associated with intense heat. Right. So you do see that that's going to be the test for the Umas Olam, and that they're going to be given the midst of Sukkah during the summertime when it's very, very hot, right, or at least at the time. So it does show that Sukkah really does relate to heat. Yeah?
Rabbi, do you understand correctly? There's no mention of Geirus by the Pesach Rishon.
No.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In Shemois, which you read on the Kriya for Pesach Rishon,
yeah,
says, Ki Ogurit Cha Geir, Vyasa Pesach Lashem, Imolo Chazach, Vyasa Chalasa, say, Ha Gezer, Oz Kolor, Oloi Vachar, Tora, Achas, Yila, Ezrach, Vila Geir, Gov, Sifra.
Okay, you're right, I take it back. Chuka Achas. I have to look back. You're right. I could be mistaken. He presents this idea. I'm probably taking out of context. He's probably referring to something very specific. He's probably referring to the word chukah. Okay, I don't know the answer. I retract. I have to go look back at see exactly what he says. Karban Pesach. But he's saying chukah achas. What's the Karban Pesach? No. Okay, I'm not sure. Let's discuss another time. Another idea on the night of the Seder in the Haggadah, when we come to Korech. What is the obvious question all of the commentators ask? Why are we quoting on Pesach Rishon a pasuk from Pesach Sheni? There's another pasuk, a similar pasuk that said Pesach Rishon that you're supposed to eat Pesach and Matzah, all three things that we eat together. So to answer this question, let's first discuss the fundamental difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni with regard to Matzah. Pesach Rishon, there is a mitzvah to eat matzah by itself. In other words, if you don't have a Korban Pesach, like Bezman Hazeh, we do not have a Korban Pesach, there is a separate mitzvah to eat matzah. And that is why Bezman Hazeh Achilas Matzah is a full-fledged mitzvah de'oraisa. Moror Bezman Hazeh, there's no mitzvah de'oraisa. The only obligation one has Bezman Hazeh to eat moror is if you eat it together with Pesach and matzah. If you don't have Pesach and matzah, then there is no din d'oraisa of eating moror bezman hazeh. Pesach sheni is different in that there is no independent chiv of eating matzah either. The only chiv to eat matzah on Pesach sheni is if you eat Pesach and moror. If you don't eat Pesach and moror, or at least Pesach, there is no chiv whatsoever to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. So now taking that idea, let's now go back to the question, why in Korach do we say the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni? Now the simple answer given by the commentators, why we quote that Pasuk, is it's a tefillah. We're saying the Pasuk as a bakash. If we are holding up a Seder, and we're not zeichet to eat the Korban Pesach, so what can we possibly do? So we try to comfort ourselves by saying, listen, there's still hope. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built in 30 days. And then we'll have the opportunity to bring the Pesach Sheni. We'll ask, but didn't we learn that the only time we bring the Pesach Sheni is for Yechin, for individuals, not for the Tzibur? So we discussed that yesterday, that there is a minority opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that appears in the Yerushalmi, Masechta Pesachim, that says that if the reason why the majority of Klal Yisrael did not bring the Korban Pesach Rishon is because there was no Beis HaMikdash, that's an exception. The Middash is built, then Klal Yisrael can offer, the entire Klal Yisrael will offer a Pesach Sheni. Therefore, we're saying this pasuk in Korach as a bakasha from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give us the Beis HaMikdash, we can have an opportunity to eat the Korban Pesach at Pesach Sheni. That's one answer. There's another answer. The other answer touches upon what we've just said before. There's a fundamental problem with Korach. The problem with eating Korach, making a sandwich, is that bittul, that one mitzvah or one piece of food is being mevatel the other piece of food. If you have in your mouth two different items, if you have batza and you have moror, the moror should be mevatel the matzah, the tamatza, and the tamatza should be mevatel the tamor. So it comes out yotza schoroi behefseido. What are you trying to accomplish? To fulfill the literal translation of the pasuk of eating matzah and moror together by putting the two things in your mouth together, one mitzvah is ruining it, is being mevatel the other mitzvah. How in the world can Hill come along and tell us that you should eat Pesach, matzah, moror together? It's going to ruin each mitzvah and you'll end up being mekayim none of the mitzvahs. To that the answer is, we have a principle called ein mitzvahs mevaloi zo ezo. When it comes to bittul, it has to be min b'she'elei minoi. When each thing is min b'minoi, if you have two like items, one is not mevatel the other, and an example of this principle is mitzvahs. One mitzvah does not have the power to be mevatel another mitzvah. Therefore, you can eat Pesach, matzah, and moror together, even though each item is bottled seemingly against two of the other items against one. The matzah and the moror is mevatel Pesach, or the Pesach and the moror mevatel matzah, and so on. No, not when it comes to mitzvahs. Each mitzvah is so chaviv, is so choshev, one mitzvah does not have the power to be mevatel another mitzvah. Now, with that idea, we can understand now, at least so we explain over here in Sefer Avnei Shem, why we quote the pasuk from Pesach Sheni. Because Pesach Sheni, matzah is weaker. Pesach Sheni, there is no independent mitzvah deraisa to eat matzah. You only have a mitzvah to eat matzah if you have a Korban Pesach. If you don't have a Korban Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah. Unlike Pesach Rishon, where you have an independent mitzvah to eat matzah. So therefore, when it comes to Pesach Rishon, what are we going to eat? We're going to eat at the same time. We're going to eat, let's say we have matzah and moror. You'll say, oh, how can you eat matzah and moror together? Make a sandwich. Mitzvah is mevadlois. One mitzvah should mevadlois the other. No, the answer is ein mitzvah mevadlois zo ezo. Okay, that might be true when you're dealing with a strong mitzvah, like an independent mitzvah of matzah. Let's backtrack. Let's make believe there was a Beis HaMikdash, and we had a Korban Pesach. So Korban Pesach is an independent mitzvah. Matzah is an independent mitzvah. Each one is a full-fledged, blown-up mitzvah by itself. There we can say the principle, one mitzvah will not be mevatel the other mitzvah. But let's say we have a mitzvah derabbanon. A mitzvah derabbanon versus a mitzvah deraisa. Maybe in this situation, we don't have a right to say, ein mitzvahs mevatel zo azo. Maybe in this situation, one mitzvah will be mevatel the other. So if we're taking on the night of the Seder, matzah, with maror, and maror is derabbanon, and matzah is deraisa, so maybe since the maror is not a real mitzvah by itself, the maror should be mevatel the tamatzah, and maybe the matzah should be mevatel the maror, because they're not equal, with one another. To that, Hillel responds, no, even if a mitzvah is only midirabbanon, we still apply the principle, ein mitzvahs mevaloi zo ezo. And that is why, to prove the point, we are careful to select the pasuk from Pesach Sheni, not from Pesach Rishon. Because Pesach Sheni, even the matzah is weak relative to the Korban Pesach. Look what's happening on Pesach Sheni. You have on Pesach Sheni, Pesach Sheni, which is an independent mitzvah. Then you have matzah and you have maror. Those are weak relative to the Korban Pesach, because the matzah is only a chiyuv if you have it together when it's a tofel to the Pesach. Maror is only a mitzvah when it's tofel to the Korban Pesach. They're not independent mitzvahs. And even there we have a rule that all three can be eaten together. So just so we see from there, from Pesach Sheni, that even when it comes to matzah, which is weak, and maror, which is weak, relative to Pesach, which is strong, even there when they're not in the same level, we still say one mitzvah is not mevatel the other mitzvah. So to hear on the night of Pesach Rishon, when we're coming to match up two mitzvahs, which are not equal, one is matzah, one is maror, one is strong, one is weak, one will not be mevatel the other. If you're going to quote the pasuk from Pesach Rishon, when you're dealing with matzah, which is independent, and Pesach, which is independent, of course, in that situation, one mitzvah is not mevatel the other mitzvah, because they're strong mitzvahs, they're independent mitzvahs. But it's not going to be a proof to a situation where one mitzvah is strong, one is weak. Like bisman hazeh, when matzah is deraisa and maror is midrabbanan, they're not at the same level. So therefore, the Baal HaGadol was very careful, very precise, according to Pasuk Pesach Sheni, where there we have a situation where you bring together three different mitzvahs: Pesach, matzah, and maror. Pesach is strong, matzah and maror are weak, and yet they can be eaten together. And the two which are weak are not going to be mevatel the one that's strong. So to now, Bezman HaZeh, the night of Pesach, when one mitzvah is strong and one is weak, it doesn't matter. One will not be mevatel the other, because the bottom line is they're all in the category of mitzvahs. So regardless, it doesn't make a difference. One is deraisa, one is drabbanon, one is not mevatel the other. So the point we have, this nice little pilpul we take out of this little pilpul, is just one fundamental difference. Pesach matzah is independent. Pesach Sheni matzah is not independent. It's tough. That is why there's no real obligation or real minug to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. Eating matzah on Pesach Sheni is not a real zecher, because even the matzah, if there was a real Pesach Sheni, you only would be mechuyev to eat the matzah if you had a Korban Pesach. Since bizman hazeh, We don't have Pesach Sheni, so there's no chiyuv to eat matzah. So eating the matzah on Pesach Sheni is a lightweight mitzvah. Okay, let's we'll go to another two very quick things. There's a fascinating Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma we discussed yesterday. Some of the custom not to say Tachlin for 7 days. Taren Psichin. The Meshech Chochma says a chiddush that is off the charts. It's really hard to find a makar for this chiddush. He says that in this chiddush Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that says that if the Beis Hamikdash will be built between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and the entire Klal Yisrael will observe Pesach Sheni, it will be a 7-day holiday, not a 1-day holiday.
That's for the numbers.
Fascinating thing, 7 days. Tashlumin, that's for Chagig, for Ria. But it'll be like Mamisha Pesach will you eat it for 7 days. Normally Pesach Sheni is only 1 day, but here we're going to have a holiday that's going to be 7 days.
Be able to bring it on 1 day. That's why you have
Kashrut. That's the Oil Suriyah. But the Oil Suriyah. But the Karm Pesach Lachar has to be brought only on the 14th and 15th day. Okay, let's go to one other. This Mishnah Chachma is, I guess, on the Parsha. It's a Parsha's Pinchas. Hamesh Chachma Parsha's Pinchas ala Parsha of Chodesh ala Pasuk of Chodesh Rishon. Par Taras Moshe. Taras Moshe Parsha's Pinchas of Chodesh Rishon shemibone beis Hamigdash leachar Pesach oz kol dishol yasu Pesach Sheni uvezeh hazman shekol dishol yisim Pesach Chodesh Sheni gam ki noisim oz kol dishol chag amatzos shivas yom Chodesh Sheni. The Gantz Klal Yisrael will observe the festival of Pesach for 7 days, eating matzah for 7 days. Tremendous Chiddush. Only 1 day. Pesach Sheni is only 1 day. Pesach Rishon is 7 days. If it will happen, that it will be built between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and the mitzvah will be built, and we're going, the Gantz Klal Yisrael will bring a carbon Pesach on Yudalid Iyar as the Iyar, Yudalid Iyar, as the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Yerushalmi. Then that Yudalid Iyar and Tesvav of Iyar, when it will be eaten, will extend for 7 days, a full fledged Yom Tov of Pesach. Someone learned that's what it means. That's what it means in the Haggadah. Ken Yagienu Lumoadim Acherim. Other festivals. What other festivals? If the Midrash will be built between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, we'll have a Pesach and Chodesh Iyar for 7 full days. Okay, let's quickly go to one more idea. Pesach Sheni is also a day that is celebrated in Klal Yisrael as the Yom Hilula of Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. Now, before we go to Meir Baal Hanes, it's also Minog in Eretz Yisrael to celebrate as the Yom Hilula of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai's Kvarim are in Tveria, I believe, are there, and also people have the custom to go to their kfarim. I don't know why, but it's a big thing. Hillel and Shammai. In addition to Shammai, is Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. Now, many of the commentators point out that there is absolutely no mekor anywhere that Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes died on Pesach Sheni. It appears the reason why it's become a big celebration to go to his tzion on this day is, I don't know how many years ago, 100, 200 years ago, they inaugurated, they rebuilt. It was the Chanukah Sabayis. They collected a lot of money to build the Beis Medrash, to redo, to renovate, and to build a whole center in honor of Meir Baal Hanes. And it just so worked out, due to programming reasons, programming department, that the celebration took place on Pesach Sheni. And then they decided the following year, it was such a great fundraising event, why not do it again? We'll have an annual dinner.
There's also a tradition that he's buried standing.
Yeah?
And the reason is that he's ready with his makel to go ahead.
To Mashiach? Never heard that. Okay, could be. But this is the sheet that this is, it became, that this touched upon, a lot of the commentators, they take this as something very important they use from this, because we have Rashmi. Soon it's going to be Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is on Sunday, and Lag BaOmer is associated with the Yom Hilul of Rashmi. Did Rashmi really die on Lag BaOmer? It's not Mukhrach. And in fact, I don't have all the details, but it appears that it's impossible. He did not exactly die on Lag BaOmer. We learn from this is that you don't necessarily have to celebrate a person's Yom Hilula on the day of his yard site. Okay, of course, we know the yard site is. That's the best day. But there is such a thing. There is such a thing as taking a day of a person and it becomes sacred. Rachman al-Islam, many people who died in the Holocaust, we don't know exactly when they died. Okay, they don't know when they died, and the family basically selects a day for whatever reason, and that day is observed as the yard site with Kaddish and all the various customs that no one normally does on that day. This is very true on a very large scale for Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. There is no mikar that he died on this day, but yet in Klal Yisrael, and to show those that are familiar in the know in these matters, it's the day that his patir is celebrated. Now there's a very logical reason, a very simple logical reason why Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes is Yom Hilula is commemorated on this day. What's the logical reason? Why Bechlal is there such an inyan to give money to the kupa of Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. Many people have a custom. Almost all of the shuls, they have a kubah or a mayor, the kubah of Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes. Some have a srula to say aneni. Meir aneni. Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. If you can't find something you're supposed to say, a certain nusach, all of these things. Because Rabbi Meir was similar, he was associated with Nisim. He was Mulumid ben Nisim, and in his chus, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us. But yeah, there's something very interesting. The interesting thing is that Rabbi Meir in the Gemara, was the one that's always Chayesh Limi'uta. There are different sugars and shas where we have different situations, and what do we do? So the Rabbanim say you go Baster Roiv. And the mayor consistently in shas always says no. You have to be chayish even for the miut. What is the essence of Pesach Sheni? Vayu anoshim asher yu tmeim. They were yichidim. They were individuals that were tmeim, and they said lama nigara. Just because we don't fit into the mold, we're not part of the rabbim. We also need. So therefore, Klal Yisrael doesn't know when Rabbi Baal Hanes started. He was a very important figure. We're always getting stuck in his honor with the big schoolists and so on and so forth. Melumah Benisim. What's the one day that we should focus on? The day that we focus on the yichidim. Pesach Sheni, Lama Nigara. There's one beautiful Chazal. Another reason why we focus on Meir is because the Gemara Mishnah tradition says, "Banim Atem LaShem Elokeichen," and the Gemara Darsh, the Rabbanim say, "When are we called Banim? Bizman Shatem Noihagim Minag Banim Atem Kriim Banim." But Ein Atem Noihagim Minag Banim. The Rabbanim say, "But if you're not behaving yourselves, then Ein Atem Kriim Banim." Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Rabbi Meir says, Bein Kach, Ubein Kach, whether you behave, whether you don't behave, Kiruyim Bonim, you're called Bonim. Because Rabbi Meir is Mechav Klal Yisrael no matter what. This also touches upon the concept of there's always a shtickle, there's the miuta. You always have to look for the good in people. This is why a mayor is so special to Klal Yisrael, because his melamed zuchus on Klal Yisrael, they were always banim lamakim, and that's what Pesach Sheni is all about. They were always banim lamakim. There's one of the very nice chazal. This Gemara is in Kiddush Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And one last thing, the famous Chazal say, Daga Belev Ish Yasi Chena. If a person has daigas, he has trouble. So Yasi Chena. What does it mean Yasi Chena? So the two interpretations. One is to speak, to go to a psychologist, to go to a shrink, and lie down on the couch, and tell him your problems, and pay him a lot of money, and all your problems will go away. That's one interpretation. The second, Yasi Chena Lashon of Siach, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basade Yishrim Spalel to Hashem. Those are two popular interpretations of this Mamre Chazal. But there's another Chazal, another Jewish, and that has meaning on Pesach Sheni, the Yom Hilula of a Meir. It says, the Gemara, Dagab Levish Yasichena Le'acherim, it says. You shall say it out to Acherim. In the Gemara, who is Rabbi Meir? Every time it says Acherim Oimrim, it is Rabbi Meir. So it means, what should a person do? A person should say, I'm giving money in honor of Eloka de Meir Aneni. Right? There's a segula. When a person needs something, he should say Eloka de Meir Aneni three times and give money to the kuba of Amir Baal Hanes. It's a segula. And segula, why? Because the Talmud says in the Gemara, Dagab Levish Yasichena Lachirim. Who is Lachirim? A mayor. You should be mispalo that the law of mayor should answer us. And by the way, according, he says over here that people make a mistake and they think when they say a law de mayor aneni means you being mispalo to the god of mayor. The god of mayor. It can't be true because we have a rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not miyachid his name on tzaddikim. And how could it be that a mayor should be different? So what it really means is, he says is, a mayor means on Hashem, who is sheds light. And we use Hashem, we use the reference of Hashem as the one who is mayor to hint to the zuchus of Rebbe Meir. But when we say Eloka de mayor, we're referring to Hashem, God who is mayor. Your namesake. You see your namesake. God who casts light and sheds light, may He answer us. We use this name as a reminder of Rebbe Meir. Okay, so that's the site for today. Pesach Sheni.
You didn't have to backtrack on what you said, because in the halal, the original part of the Korban Pesach, the doesn't say yet. The only reason, as the Abar Ben El gets into this, the only reason all of a sudden it mentions it again, it has at the end of the parsha a few sentences to do with Korban Pesach again, is because all of a sudden, what's the pasuk before that? It says, God said, "Oh no, I'm going alone. What happens now? So now I got to give you new halachas all over again." And he starts to talk about new halachas. Why didn't he say this part with the first one? Because that's nothing that wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. Then it says, so now I got to tell you, you know, all of these things you can't eat. So it wasn't in the original.